read in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, and I'm just going to exhort you a little bit tonight. You haven't even had enough hunger to even stir me up to preach. How's right, take more hunger than that to even stir me up to preach. A lot of preachers, they can preach. It don't make any difference whether they got people or not. They can preach. And as far as people, I've had a better time when there wasn't nobody around. I mean, I've shouted, hollered, screamed, had a good time. The anointing just, my cup running over. So I don't have anything to do with it. But if I'm going to tell you something or preach to you, there's got to be some kind of hunger and some kind of thirst that'll stir something up in here to speak to you. Because I can't do it. But he can. And you draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. How do you know that the Bible tells us that the deep calleth unto the deep at the water spout of God? How many of you know that? Is that Bible? How do you know where the water spout of God is? The water spout of God's inside of here. Inside of here. Waters of salvation come out of the wells of salvation. And out of your innermost being, from God's water spout, flows rivers of living water. Is that right? And the deep, that is the deep down in here that you can't touch, or scientists can't touch, the spiritual being. Too deep for the greatest knowledge in the world to touch. It's calling out to the deep, whereas the Bible said lunge out into the deep, calling out to God's Spirit, which is also the deep. And the deep is calling to the deep at the water spout of God. But there's got to be an answer. There's got to be an answer. How do you understand what I'm saying? There's something that's going on down here that you need to know about. Reading from 1 Peter in the 5th chapter. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but by willing, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being example to the flocks. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, settle ye. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, this is just a few brief words of exhortation, and I'm going to let you go tonight. Now, the reason I'm going to do this is because you come here expecting nothing, and so then I'm going to let you go away in the same condition. But I said a few things here tonight that those that are the true elect of God, it's going to ring a little familiar bell down on the inside, and something is going to stir them deep within, and they're going to begin to hunger and thirst after the things of God, and begin to awake to the fact that there really is a move of God and a real, genuine stirring that's not a showmanship and not some evangelist coming through the country to get a crowd, but something that has come down from heaven. I had a vision, and in this vision I went to pray for somebody. I was standing outside in the bright noonday. And while I was standing there, I looked up into heaven. And there was the brightness of the sun such that I'd never seen it in clarity for a day. As I started to pray, I looked, and exceedingly high up in the the heavens, I saw a great huge cloud. I mean, it was a monstrous thing of a cloud. And while I was standing looking at it, I had lifted my eyes up to pray for the individual that was in front of me. And I had my eyes open, and when I looked, I saw it. And it was such a huge thing, and it was so exceedingly far away. But as I stood there looking at it, it was as though an unseen power, a hand, moved out and caught the end of it and broke it off like a mother rolling dough to make biscuits, just caught a big end of it and cut it off. And when it cut off, it just popped out like a balloon separated from the big cloud. I stood there fascinated by what I saw. And I kept looking, and while I was looking, I saw this great cloud as it began to drift down from heaven. And I thought within myself, I was so much at myself. I said, my God, I said that cloud is coming all the way out of heaven and coming down to the earth. I thought, Lord, that can't be. Am I seeing this right? And I said, there it is, coming from the high places of heaven. And it's coming all the way down to the earth. When I saw this big cloud, it was a great big pillar of fire. How many of you know that there was a pillar of fire that led the children of Israel? How many of you know that? It was a pillar of fire by night. And it was a cloud by day. Isn't that right? That means that the thing that led the children of Israel was a huge cloud. That's what it was. But it was intermingled with fire. And so it was called a pillar of fire. Are you listening? I saw this great pillar of fire. I mean this great pillar of fire. I saw this huge cloud, and it was intermingled with fire. And the fire was running all through the cloud like a great, you ever seen one of these great big chimneys at a foundry and the white smoke coming out and the fire intermingled with the puff of smoke? I saw this great pillar of fire. And I watched this great pillar of fire as it began to move, and as this piece was cut off and started down to the earth. I noticed especially that as this great pillar of fire separated itself from this piece that came off of it, that the piece that came off of it began to lose the fire, and it began to drift down, drift down. I watched it, and there must have been about five men standing around where I was, seemingly in the vision. And there I was watching what was going on. And I saw that pillar of fire as the fire subsided within it. I saw it come down out of heaven and come and stand over my head. It came down till it stood right over my head. When it stood over my head, I noticed that immediately it was like somebody had taken a pen and burst a balloon. And all of a sudden it seemed to divide itself into about five parts. And the individuals that were standing around, it looked like it went right down into their bodies, right into their chest. And then I come out of the vision. I've had some strange visions. I had the angel of God to come to me and talk with me down in Miami, Florida. It's some more experience. But I saw this great pillar of cloud. And when I come out of the vision, I said, Lord, what can it mean? I said, I don't understand it. I said, I've never had a vision like that in my life. I don't understand it. And the Lord said to me, he said, son, in the days of Israel, he said, when the cloud came and stood over the tabernacle, he said it meant that God was inside of the tabernacle. And he said, this cloud coming down out of heaven indicates that God is in the tabernacle. And he said to me, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said this. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel it meet to stir up your pure minds. Though you know these things, I still want to bring them to your remembrance. A lot of times we might know a whole lot of things, But we still need the preacher to remind us of them. But God said, you are the tabernacle of the living God. The Bible said you are the temples of the Holy Ghost. And God dwells on the inside of you. And God walks inside of you. And the Bible said when the minister gets up to speak, it shall not be him that's speaking, but it shall be God from inside the tabernacle. That alone tells me that some of you don't know what's going on. Tonight, if we had the President of the United States here, there'd be so many people you couldn't get near the place. But there's a greater than the President of the United States here tonight. If I had Solomon here tonight, they couldn't get near the place. But there's a greater than Solomon here tonight. If I had the prophet Elijah here tonight, you couldn't get near the place. But there's a greater than the prophet Elijah here tonight. I know that you don't know. And I know that you don't understand. And I'm not going to bother to try to tell you. But I tell you one thing. There has never been a time like this. There has never been in the history of mankind an hour like this. God is in his temple. The Bible said God is in his temple. Let the whole world keep silent. And the Bible said it shall not be the man speaking, but it shall be God from within his temple. And that minister, if he's really a God-called man, he has the power, and I want you to listen tonight, he has the power to send you to heaven or to send you to hell. I said that the minister of God, if he really, truly is the man of God, he has the power to send you to heaven or to send you to hell. Amen. Somebody would say, bless God, there's one thing I know, ain't nobody got no power over me like that. Oh, yes. The law's got power over you whether you want to go one way or the other. If you want to live in Texas, they got power over you. If you want to live in Georgia, they got power over you. If you want to honor the law, they've got power over you. If you don't want to honor the law, they've still got power over you. That's the way it is with the laws of God. If you don't want to live for God, the minister's still got power over you. And if you do want to live for God, it's still got power over you. You're going to serve the law, whether you serve him in prison or whether you serve it adjusting yourself to the benefits of it. Folks, you're going to serve God, whether you serve him in a spiritual prison or bring the curse upon you, or whether you serve him according to the benefits and adjust yourself according to the laws of God. Hallelujah. There is no way to escape except through Christ. I have heard ministers in my lifetime preach an optional religion. I've heard them say to the people for many years, if you want to do this, you can do it, but you're sovereign. God isn't going to make you do it. You just do what you want to. But I want to tell you tonight, the ministry that God gave me and the word that God gave me, the Bible said that Peter commanded them. He never asked them. He never made a request. But he commanded them to repent. He told them that they would either do it or perish in hell. That's what he told them. He said, you will either do it or perish in hell. There was no option about it. There was no if you want to about it. He didn't say you could belong to the Church of God if you want to, or the Assemblies of God if you want to, or the Pentecostal Holiness if you want to, or the Catholic if you want to. He didn't do like old Robert's done. He didn't get up and say you can go to the church of your choice. He said there's but one church, and that's God's choice, and you'll come to it or go to hell. That's the church of the firstborn that the Bible outlines, and there's only one way into it, and that's through the name Jesus Christ. I was baptizing somebody the other day, and they wanted to tell me in so many words it wasn't in the water. I said, no, it's not in the water. But I said, it is in the name. The Bible said there's salvation in none other name but the name Jesus Christ. People don't understand, but the minister has the power to send them to hell or heaven. The Bible said, it shall not be him that speaketh, but the heavenly Father that speaketh from within him. And the Bible said that whosoever sins, they remitted, will be taken away. Remitted. Done away with. Not whosoever sins, God remitted. But Jesus says, my Father has sent me. He said, so send I you, that whosoever sins, you remit, shall be remitted. And whosoever sins, you retain, shall be retained. And whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. Did you know that when a man of God comes to preach the word, that you're under the judgment? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I'm expecting to go yonder and stand before the judgment. Did you know that the Pentecostal world is so mixed up that they don't even know what the judgment is, and they don't know where it's going to be, and they don't know who's going to be there? Somebody would say, but I'm not an ignoramus. I'd have you to know that I know. But I wonder if you really do. I thought I knew too until he told me. The Pentecostal people is some of the most mixed up people in the world. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, they're the apple of God's eye. I believe that. I believe that they're the cream of the crop. Israel was the apple of God's eye, and he said, if you touch Israel, you touch the apple of my eye. But they were the most mixed up people in all the world. Nobody as mixed up as Israel was. The Bible said, going about to establish their own righteousness, they stumble at the righteousness of God. That's what they've been trying to do. Did you know, folks, listen, I don't serve God so that I can go to heaven. I'm not trying to do things that pertain to holiness and pertain to the scriptures so I can go to heaven or so that God will save my soul. I'm not trying to do that. Jesus Christ died for my sins. He forgave me and he saved me and predestinated me by the divine foreknowledge of his own will. And I am serving God, trying to perfect my life out of gratitude for what he's done for me. I serve him. I try to conform to his way and his desire. And the Bible said to bring every thought into subjection to Jesus Christ. A lot of you people have continually evil thoughts. And you think that you're serving God. But the Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought has to come into obedience if you're a Christian. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. He prayed for the forgiveness of his heart, for the thoughts and intents of his heart. He prayed forgiveness. I know the devil trapped him and the sword never departed from his house. He paid for it. But I want you to know that he loved the Lord so much that the very intents of his heart and the motive is his heart. He prayed that God would forgive him. Did you know that when you come to the house of God, that we are here for the purpose to either remit your sins or retain your sins? How do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't believe that the church world is mixed up, just give me just a few minutes, will you? It's late. It's late. And some of you would rather not give me the few minutes because you'd rather not hear. But just give me a few minutes, not to try to get into Revelation, but just to drop a few thoughts tonight as an exhortation to you to just see if they really are mixed up. If a feller says something and can't prove it, he's in bad shape, isn't he? The Bible said if a man boasts himself of a gift, he's like, and he don't have the gift, he's like a well without any water if it's a false gift. Isn't that right? But he said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. Isn't that right? If a man testify of himself, the Bible said, he's not right with God. His witness is not true. But if he testify of the one who sent him, there's no unrighteousness in him. Now, who sent me? In the beginning was the Word. And God said, preach the Word. And the Word sent me. And if I testify of the Word, I'm testifying of him that sent me. That's why Paul said, preach the Word. Now, I come here to the house of God. You come here to the house of God. Why do you come to the house of God? Somebody would say, I come to praise God, Brother Pine. That's good. But why do you come to the house of God? The Bible said, and I want you to listen, that judgment shall begin in the house of God. Are you listening? I said, God said that I'm going to put a judge behind the sacred desk. And that judge is going to judge you. And is going to remit your sins, or is going to retain your sins. Are you listening? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I'm not dependent on any man. I'm not following any man. There is no way to get to heaven without following a man. Are you listening? You say, well, I know better. But when you think you know something, you might not know something as you ought to know. I hear people tying down man. Tying down man. Tying down man. But let me tell you something. God uses human beings. God uses man. God is a spirit. And the only way that God works is through a man. God has never worked any other way except through a man. In the days of Moses, God worked through a man. In the days of Elijah, God worked through a man. If it had not been God working through a man, there'd be no testimony of God in the earth today. God has a name today because He chose a people. He didn't choose you because you're righteous. He said, Israel, I didn't choose you because you'd done what was right. He said, you've been contrary and rebellious. He never chose a Pentecostal people because they're right. This ought to make some of you people really stand up and take notice. I said, God never chose you because you said you was assembly of God. He never chose you because you said you was church of God. He never chose you because you said you was UPC. But the Bible said God chose you to make a name for Himself. Isn't that something? It's no wonder the devil don't want the name Jesus in the church. When you leave off the name Jesus, you've completely made God's plan void. That's the only thing that God was interested in to begin with. I have chosen you, God said, that I might make myself a name. What was the name? Jesus. Amen. Somebody said, I don't believe that was God's name. Well, then why did the Lord say that I've come in my Father's name? I said, why did He tell a lie if that was a lie? Nobody made Him do it. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Why was it that God said, because you've manifested my name? And Jesus said, Father, I've manifested thy name. I've kept them in your name. And God said, because you did in my name. Is that right? I will give you a name. Somebody said, that was the name of the Son of God. But the Father said, Son, I'll give you a name. Isn't that right? So ain't nobody going to know that but you and to whomsoever you reveal it. Is that right? I said, the church world ought to be ashamed. They have made void the plan of God by setting them up some kind of the name of a church or some kind of system as to what they believe in a doctrine or religion. But they've left the name of Jesus out. The only thing that's got salvation in it. I made a challenge the other day, and I might as well say this. Some of the skeptics came anyway, and we'll get off to a good start. I don't get around to this early. But I might as well say it. So some of the smart fellers and the smart ladies can go home and try to take me apart and visit with somebody else, or they can echo it around the neighborhood. Are you listening? I made the statement that if Matthew 28 wasn't fulfilled in the second chapter of Acts and in the 38th verse, that I challenge anybody anywhere in the world, in all of them at one time, to show me where it was ever fulfilled. I challenge anybody in the world to show me where Matthew 28 was ever fulfilled if it wasn't fulfilled in the second chapter of Acts. If it wasn't fulfilled in the second chapter of Acts, it never was fulfilled. We might as well to throw the Bible in the river, because that means that they violated God's word. Because He told them to do it. There had to be a fulfillment somewhere. And brother, let me tell you something. If they didn't fulfill it there, that means they never did fulfill it, because there's no record where it was ever fulfilled. You can say amen or oh me. That's what the book says. And the Bible said he that God sendeth will tell you about the book. He'll say what the book says. He's afraid to say anything else. Hallelujah. I said he's afraid to say anything else because God will get his hide if he does. His old brother Red used to say God will work on his case if he don't tell you. Hallelujah. That's why Peter commanded them. He never made a request. He commanded them and told them what they had to do to be born again. You know why? Because salvation is in the name of Jesus Christ. And there is none other name given under heaven, whether it be the name Father, and I believe there is a Father. And whether it be the name Son, and I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I believe it just as much as you believe it. More than some of you hypocrites that believe it go around trying to take the name away. Sons and daughters of the devil, bastard children, that the Bible said can't enter in, have needs to be born again.
That's right.
Hallelujah. What is it? It's the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If you can get a man to preach the name of Jesus to you, you get your arms, spiritual arms around him, and don't you let him go. And when the devils and the demons come in that bring doctrines of devils, you put them on the way. Don't you give place to them. The Bible said, no, not for an hour, not for a minute. If any man come to your door and he don't preach this gospel, the Bible said, don't so much as eat with him or have any fellowship with him or receive him into your home or heart. What is it? Matthew's 28 being fulfilled. God giving the great commission. And he gave it to the apostles. Now will you listen for just a minute? Hallelujah. Did you know that it is a true fact that when those apostles met the Lord Jesus, they met him one Sabbath day's journey outside of Jerusalem at a place called Mount Olivet? And did you know that there wasn't but 11 of those apostles because Judas had already committed suicide and that Jesus at that time had resurrected from the dead? And did you know that we said in Matthew 28 to go into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? That he was talking to those 11 disciples. It ain't my Bible because I tore it out. Like a fellow over in Alabama preaching there. This fellow came up to me. I started telling him about the name of Jesus. He's in charge of the church there. Let me preach. Wasn't contrary to me preaching. Listen to it. Had great fellowship. I want to show you some danger. Done everything that a preacher could do to receive me. But when it came to the name of the Lord, he said, that ain't right. He went home and his wife dropped dead. I went to the Carolinas to preach. I got there in a church to preach the name of the Lord. And just over the way, a fellow had another nice big church. Had everything invested in it. He told his people, said, you better not go. I said, leave him alone. About the next day or two, I walked out of the church and looked. His church was in blazes, burnt to the ground, and everything he'd worked for through the years, and he was then crying. Just a few things. I had somebody here around the areas of Alena, Mississippi. They received me in their home. They took me into the assembly of God. I preached in the church and they still wouldn't have the name Jesus, and a few days after I left the house burned down. Folks, I want to tell you something tonight. God is fussy about that name called Jesus. Did you know that? I said, God is concerned about the name called Jesus. You know why there's no revival in the church today? It's because they've taken Jesus out of it. I said they've got everything but the name Jesus. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I don't have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I still got the Holy Ghost. I know that there's people that's in the churches around the world. Many of them have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. But I want you to know something. That every one of those individuals that's got the Holy Ghost will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Not one of them, not two of them, but every one of them. Somebody said, bless God, I got it, and I ain't going to be baptized. You haven't got it. You might have felt it. You might have tasted of it, as Hebrews said. You might have spoken tongues and shouted the curls out of your hair. But that don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, you're supposed to be preaching the Word. That's what the Word says. The Bible said, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost, He will guide you into all truth and righteousness. Is that right? What is the truth and righteousness of God? Old John went to baptize Jesus and said, suffer to be so. Said, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That means the Holy Ghost will lead you into baptism. Somebody said, if you got the Holy Ghost, you don't have to be baptized. That's a lie. I said, that's a lie. You mean to tell me that Jesus Christ came down from heaven and took time to sit on a riverbank to let apostles stand out there and baptize when he was wasting his valuable time and it wasn't needful? You mean the Son of God, or God who created heaven and earth, found time to go down in a muddy river and be baptized? And you think because the banker feels he's important, or the judge feels like he hasn't got time to do it, that God's going to listen to him? If God himself veiled himself in humanity and came down in a mighty river to be your example, my brother, you're going to have to go the same way. Somebody said, can you prove a person that's had the Holy Ghost going to have to be baptized? I certainly can. I not only that, but I can prove that if you've ever been baptized, if you ain't been baptized in Jesus' name, you're going to have to be baptized over. By the Word. You say, how could that be? Because the Bible said when Peter went down to Cornelius, that the Holy Ghost fell on them as Peter preached the Word. Is that right? How many of you ever felt the Holy Ghost fall while a preacher was preaching? I asked you the other night and felt the Holy Ghost fall. When Brother Wilson got up tonight, started to sing, talking about God, I felt the Holy Ghost fall on people. Said it fell on them as he preached the Word, and they received it. Isn't that right? Now, but after they received the Holy Ghost, that same Peter said, here's some water. Said, seeing that you received the Holy Ghost, seeing that God's no respected person, and he's given the Holy Ghost to the Gentile people, that's you, as well as he has the Jews. The Bible says he commanded them to be baptized in Jesus Christ's name. They had the Holy Ghost, but they had to be baptized. Is that right? Why? Remission of sin is in the name Jesus. Is that right? Oh, Paul the Apostle in the 19th chapter of Acts, the Bible said he met certain disciples. They had already been baptized. They had been baptized by the same man that baptized Jesus, but that wasn't good enough. They had been baptized in the same river and maybe the same spot that Jesus had been baptized in, but that wasn't good enough. You know why it wasn't good enough? Because John baptized with water under repentance, saying, believe on the name. I say, he says, there's one that's among you. I baptize you with water under repentance. But he said, there's one that cometh after me whose shoe latches I am not worthy to stoop none loose. It is he that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Did you know that every person that was ever baptized was baptized unto the name, or either in the name? Did you know that the Bible said all of the people was baptized in the Red Sea unto Moses? I said they were baptized unto Moses. Now, what did Moses have to do with it? Because the Bible said, I'll raise up a prophet like unto Moses. They were being baptized under the name. And when John came, John said, I baptize you under repentance. He said, but now remission of sin is here. And it's in the name. Yeah, amen. Oh, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we're disciples of John. Said, we haven't even heard whether it be so much as the Holy Ghost or not. Now, I wonder why that great revelator said this. I wonder why the great PhDs of today say it's not needful, but here's the man with the greatest revelation ever lived. A man that healed the sick and raised the dead. Old Brother Paul said, tell me something. He said, how do they baptize you? I wonder why he took up his time saying those unnecessary things. I wonder why Paul did it. You know, somebody will grab a hobby horse and they'll ride off. And they'll say, like Paul said over there, God didn't call me to baptize, he called me to preach the gospel. And off they'll go. Are you listening? You know what Paul said? Paul said, God didn't call me to do the baptizing. I'm going to get Paulus to do it. I'm going to preach. You ought to be baptized. So he called me to tell you about it, and Paul's going to take care of the rest of it. Got too many people to reach to be baptized in so many. Are you listening? For the Bible said as many as baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Is that right? How do you know that the Bible said everyone that got in over there without the wedding garment was bound hand and feet and cast out? They didn't come through the door of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, I can get in. You can get in, but you can get in another way. There's going to be a lot of people getting the Spirit by grace. But they got in another way. Jesus said, you didn't come through the door, you're a thief and a robber. Come on. Somebody said, what are you talking about? I mean that Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door, I'm the way. Somebody said they didn't have the righteousness of God. What was that? The wedding garment said the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the body of the Lord, members in particular. Hadn't died out and been buried to their own. Hadn't lost your identity and come up in the body of the Lord Jesus, which was that outer wedding garment, a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That was over the spiritual man on the inside that had to give an account to God. Is that right? Are you listening? I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Now, you said, Brother Pike, that's what we come here to see if you was going to do that. I done it, didn't I? Well, praise God. You found out exactly what you come for. Somebody said, well, I never thought you'd do it right off the reel. I didn't either. Didn't have no plans to. But the Lord showed me in as much as that's why you come, to go ahead and tell you about it. You want to give folks what they come for. You love the Lord? I said there's a lot more to talk about than baptism. Baptism is the foundation of repentance. Is that right? But if you don't get the foundation, you can't build a house. Is that right? Like to go on to perfection. A lot of things to be said. Somebody said, I got the Holy Ghost, I'm on my way to heaven. Did you know that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're just then a little bitty baby that's just been born into the world? The Holy Ghost just means that you're a little bitty baby that's got the Spirit of life. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost is given you to lead you and guide you into all of the revelation of God. All of the truths of God to bring you into the full stature of Jesus Christ to make you perfect. Amen. You're nothing but a little toddling baby. That's why you speak in tongues. Somebody get the Holy Ghost and start speaking in tongues. That's God. You ever heard a little baby? It'll come in the world and say, wah, wah, da, 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 da. You ever heard that? You don't know what to say. Just say, da, 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 da. That's all it says. His Spirit crying out, Abba, Father. Somebody said, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I mean, Paul said, when you grow up, you can prophesy and edify the church. And if you don't just say, da, da, da. Just as a proof of life within you. But you can make people understand what you're saying. And edify the church. You love the Lord? You've been baptized in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. If you haven't, you missed the greatest thing of your life. Are you listening? I let me say a few more words and I'll close. Now, old brother Peter got the keys to the kingdom. How many believe that? Are you listening? Just give me a few more minutes. I said, Peter, he got the keys to the kingdom. Now, you know, a key is no good unless there's a door.
Amen.
I mean, what do you need with a key if there's no door? Isn't that right? God had wasted his time to give Peter a key if there hadn't been a door. Isn't that right? That's why the Bible said, old Peter opened the doors to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. He had the key. Isn't that right? Somebody would say, well, I wonder what that key was. Well, you don't have to wonder anymore. I can tell you what it was. It was the name of Jesus Christ. I said there's not another key that can open the door of heaven except the name Jesus. When old brother John on the Isle of Patmos, just a few short years after the crucifixion, about 96 A.D., wrote the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos, just a few years after the crucifixion. Old brother John looked up into heaven and he said, I see a door open in heaven. Did you know the door that he saw was the same one that Peter opened at Pentecost? I said there never was another door open in heaven except the one that Peter opened. The Jews rejected it. And after the church ages, here's old brother John getting the Jews back together. And finally they're going to have to go through that door anyway. They've tried, they've wandered all over the world and looked for something everywhere and couldn't find it. And finally John said, come here. So there it is. Same one Peter opened over there. When the Lord hung on Calvary, the veil was rent in twain and the door opened and the Bible said the people went into heaven. Never had people been in heaven before. Brother David, he didn't get in. Brother Abraham, he didn't get in. Are you listening? Well, that really stirs up some disputes, don't it? Somebody said, bless God, I'd love to tell you a thing or two. I'd love for you to tell me a thing or two. Maybe we'll get a chance where you can. Hallelujah. I said, oh, brother Abraham, he didn't get to it. Father of the faithful, too, had great faith. Oh, brother David didn't get to it. Oh, brother Elisha had a double potion, but he didn't get to it. Are you listening? You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, the Bible said they without us could not be made perfect.
Amen.
God just said, Daniel, rest in your lot. There's a better day coming after a while.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when Peter got up and said, this is that. This ain't something that's coming. He said, this is that. Somebody said the other day, following Brother Branham. Brother Branham's got a lot of great followers, a great prophet of God, but he's got a lot of mixed up followers. One of them said, bless God, said, I ain't preaching no more. Said, I'm waiting for the latter rain. Well, he's running late. I said, he's running late. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm waiting for the latter rain. Have you know that when the Holy Ghost come at Pentecost, that was the latter rain? The Bible said God gave the Jews the former rain. That was a lesser light. Just a light within a veil, a law over it. Is that right? Covering Moses' face because he couldn't look to the end of it. But he said this latter light, the last light, would be grace, would be the light of the world. You a city set on a hill that couldn't be hid. Is that right? Hallelujah. And then the latter rain at Pentecost. But he just gave us a preview of it. And said, come back in the end time and I'll show you the whole picture. Isn't that right? Said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Is that right? Old men shall dream dreams. Show wonders in the heavens and signs in the heavens above and wonders in the earth. Is that right? How have you listened? I'm skipping about here to introduce a few thoughts. But that door that was open in heaven, how do you know that the Bible said that at Calvary, the veil was rent in twain? How do you know that? How many of you understand what he meant when he said the veil was rent in twain? What does twain mean? It means two, don't it? The Bible said that Jesus made in himself twain. Isn't that right? Somebody said, now you don't believe in the three and one. I said the Bible said he made himself plain. Is that right? Both. Two. Both means two, don't it? Is that right? Somebody said, but he's the Son of God. That's all he can be. But the Bible said he made himself plain too. Are you listening? Said both Lord and Christ. Two. And when they took him and they hung him on Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. That is, the Christ was taken away from the Lord. Are you listening? The separation of the two. Lady, it's not at all disgusting. You're the one that's disgusting. God's been disgusted with you for years. Don't feel bad. It might be hope for you yet. Who knows? I might say something that might stir you up. Somebody said, bless God, I've been in the way for years. I know it, and the preacher knows it, and the church knows it. Several others have been in the way with you. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. And so the great temple was rent in twain. Oh my, I wish I could say something about that tonight. That unlocks heaven and earth. You know why? Because the door was open in heaven. When the veil was rent in twain, that was the door that you had to go through. See, when the door separated, it rent in twain. When the Lord was separated from the Christ. My, what revelation. Enough to write a great book about. And so there was a door, and that door was open in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this and close right in the middle of thoughts right here. Because it would take me just about 3 months to finish this sermon. And you're not going to stay and listen. How many of you know this in closing? That the law and the prophets were to John. I'm just saying a few things to stir your mind up here tonight. See if there's anything else for us to learn. The law and the prophets were unto John. And since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Is that right? And the Bible said that men pressed their way into that kingdom. Are you listening? I said the law and the prophets lasted till John. But ever since John came, there's been some baptizing going on. I said there's been a door open in heaven. There was a key given. Never before was there ever a door open in heaven. Because nobody ever had the key to it. But old brother Peter, he got a revelation. And God said, I'm setting up a church on this rock. Somebody said that was on Peter. I know the name means little rock or stone. But the Bible said, who is a rock but our God? Is that right? He said, I say unto you that you're Peter. He said, but I'm talking about God, the eternal spirit that's an unmovable rock. Said, upon that rock, that spirit, upon that revelation that come to you, I'll build a church. He didn't tell him he's going to use old brother Paul to do it. But shortly after he gave Peter the keys to open the door, he called a man by the name of Paul and said, Paul, that revelation I was talking about to Peter, said, I'm going to let you take it to the folks. God always uses a man. A lot of folks said, I ain't following a man. But how many know that Jesus Christ is a man? The Bible said he was the man Christ Jesus. You want to follow him tonight? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You want to follow the man Christ Jesus tonight, or do you rather leave off with him? A lot of things we could say there. So then, in closing tonight, the law and the prophets were to John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached and men have been pressing their way into it. That means there's a door open in heaven. You can get into the kingdom. You can go in. Maybe we'll say more about it in the meeting. But until John, the law and the prophets lasted. But when John came, there was a door open in heaven. Now, I want you to listen to this. The Jews got around Jesus and they looked at him. And they said, now, if you are the Messiah, said, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? So that's what we're looking for. Ever since David died, said, we've been looking for a king, the son of David, to come. But the Christ in Jesus confounded the Jews, because the Jesus was sent to the Jews, but the Christ was sent to a spiritual bride. Is that right? And the Christ within the Jesus spoke out and said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not for you to know. Is that right? And they were confounded. A lot could be said about that in Revelation. But they were confounded. See, the Christ spoke out. He turned to them and he said, I say unto you, they shall come from the east. And they shall come from the west. And they shall set down the place of the children of the kingdom. And the children of the kingdom shall be cast out of darkness. Now, this is what he was saying in our understanding. He was saying, and I say unto you Jews, that you're the children of the kingdom of David. But I'm fixing to reject you and put you into outer darkness and let you wander through the world. And be on the outside of God. And the Gentiles is going to come from the east. And the Gentiles is going to come from the west. The north and the south. And the Gentiles is going to be translated by faith into the marvelous kingdom of God. And though you're the children of the kingdom, you're going to be cast into outer darkness under the fulfillment of the days of the Gentiles. And you're going to wander and beat the wailing walls of Jerusalem. Until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. For there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Did they do it? They did it exactly. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I thought that meant someday he's going to cast them into hell. It does. But it means a whole lot more. I said it means a whole lot more. It's all told in the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want you to stand with me tonight. That it's a little late tonight, and really it isn't late for service. Old time Holy Ghost folks, if they'd left here at that time, it almost felt like it's been insulted. It's not late for Christians. They're not time creatures anyway, but it is late according to our order and our day, you know, that we're living in. It's late, and I'm sorry that I kept you a little long, but I didn't get loose that early. I don't believe I preached that long. Just exhort you a little bit. But folks, we need to get a hunger. There's a whole lot of things that you could get a hold of if you was hungry. God has got a heavenly storehouse full of goods, and he's just waiting to share them with somebody. But that somebody's got to be hungry. Hallelujah. It's got to be somebody that wants to get something from God. You might say, well, I don't want to get anything from God. But the Bible said, hold fast, let no man take your crown. Folks, we're living in a day when somebody's going to get your crown. I'm going to say this. A lot of our elders and you elderly people, don't get upset, because I know there's still some good ones. But a lot of our elders has died in that old denominational wilderness, that old Trinitarian veil. I'm saying it's going to be my way, bless God, it ain't going to be no way at all. You know, some folks feel like, because they don't believe something, that just annuls it and kills it and finishes and stops and that's it. But the Bible said, can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? No. If God wants to heal somebody and you don't want to believe it, he'll just let you die with tuberculosis or cancer, and he'll go over to your neighbor's house and he'll heal them. Your unbelief isn't going to stop God. Just because you say, bless God, we don't believe it, and our church don't teach it, we ain't going to have it, that doesn't stop it. You'll just be like the man that leaned over on the king's shoulder and said, if God made heaven, windows in heaven, I'd look for revival. He said, son, there's going to be a revival. He said, I'm going to make you a doorkeeper, but you won't get sick. And the Bible said, when the revival comes, them old critics, those that were standing at the door, wouldn't go in and wouldn't get out either. The Bible said the people trampled them to death. Some of you are going to get trampled to death. I stand there saying, no, we don't believe it. It can't be. This is going to run right over you and go right on in. For the elders died in the wilderness, and God raised up the children and took them in. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you don't understand my physical condition. My brothers and sisters, it ain't your physical condition. Ain't nothing wrong with you that God can't heal. There ain't nothing wrong with you that God can't fix. That ain't what it is. It's your spiritual condition. That's where the trouble is. Says you could be in health and prosper if your soul would prosper. Is that right? That lady didn't like that, because she felt sure she had some kind of physical defect that she'd convinced her husband of, and that he'd have mercy on her and understand it. She just was going to be like a wiggle worm on a hot rock and couldn't stay long enough to hear the sermon. God knows a little something about you. Did you know that? He knows more about you than what you told your husband. If you love the Lord, say amen. Praise God. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, folks. You've been a good audience tonight. I feel a little more stirring. I feel like you're just ready to get a sermon now. But it's too late. I have to go home. You ever heard that song, Jesus Use Me? How many would like for Jesus to use you? Let me see. Hey, I want Jesus to use me. Let me say this right quick. I don't want to hold you, but let me say this right quick. I never seen a day like today. Now listen, I'm not being comical. I just want to tell it just the way it is. People have gotten in a rut. You know, they wandered around in the wilderness till they died. How many of you know that? They could have gone to the Canaan land. But they've got in a rut. Now listen, they get up in the morning and they go to work so that they can make them some money, so that they can buy them some food, so that they can feed their belly. Are you listening? And buy them a bed so that they can lay their belly down on it and rest their belly, so that their belly can get up the next morning, go back to work to make some more money, to feed their belly, to rest on the bed, to get up the next morning to go make some more money to feed their belly. I might say, you must be crazy, Brother Pike. No, the Bible said all of their labor is for their belly because their belly craves it of them. That's why I said, John, it's going to be bitter to your belly. Have you ever seen a day with people like bellies like now? Somebody say amen or oh me. All of the labor is for the belly. Are you listening? They've gotten in a rut. They buy a car so they can ride their belly around to rest it, so they can make some more money to put in their belly, so they can ride their belly around again. It's a rut, folks. But wouldn't you like to get out of that? Oh, my. To send your children off to school to go to college so they can make some money for their belly, so they can learn more in college to make some more money for their belly. Wouldn't you like to just get out of that rut and say, God, let me amount to something in this world. Let me do something outside of getting in a rut and making all my labor for my belly. And let me do something for God. Let me count for God. Let me be stirred up. Let me learn something. Don't let me spend my life out in a little grassy lawn out there chopping and planting around the flower and laying a rock around the flower so everybody will say, you got a pretty lawn. So I can go back and feed my belly so I'll have more strength to work around the flowers. So that somebody will say the flowers is pretty over near my home where I rest my belly. Are you listening? Paul said, I speak as a fool. Said, inasmuch as you entreat fools gladly. So then what do we need to do? Is the little girl all right? You love the Lord? Folks, you can get up and go with us and get out of the wilderness of that old carnal mind if you want to. We're going to do something outside of feed our belly. All right, let's sing this little song together. Jesus, use me. Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely